Our guest today became a stepmom and then a step-grandmother at a real young age, and now she helps other stepmoms. You're going to really enjoy this discussion.
I'm Cameron. I spent years building my career and creating a life I loved. And when my Prince Charming finally showed up, he had four kids in tow. Fast forward through lots of mistakes made and lessons learned, step-family life was much more complicated than I realized. If you're looking for help with blended family life, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Stepmom Diaries, where we keep it real as we dish about all the things. This is your weekly dose of blended family inspiration and encouragement. You're not the wicked stepmother, so let me help you find your fairy tale ending. Come on, let's do this.
Welcome, welcome. Before we get to today's guest, can I ask you a quick favor? Could you head over to iTunes and rate our podcast? It is super easy to do and will help me reach more stepmoms just like you. And if you screenshot your review and send it to me, I will send you a fun freebie. You can head over to the show notes for details at stepfamilysolutions.com/episode76. Also, I wanted to mention to you, I am doing my very first free masterclass of the year on January 24th at 7 o'clock Eastern. It is called 6 Simple Steps to Step Family Peace, and you definitely don't want to miss it. In the masterclass, I will walk you through the Step Family Success Path, and I will help you pull together your very own blueprint to see progress immediately in your step family. The link to sign up is in the show notes. And if you can't make it in person, there will be a replay for a limited time. So make sure you sign up so you can get access to that. So let's get to today's guest, Mindy Kyle. Our guest, Mindy, spoke at last year's Stepmom Summit and has a really great common sense approach to stepmom coaching. She is no stranger to the struggles that come with the title of stepmom. Mindy became a stepmom to four kids at the age of 24, which as someone who became a stepmom of four kids at age 40, I cannot believe how well she handled that at 24. I definitely would not have been able to do that. Because of her own personal struggles, though, through her own stepmom journey, she focuses solely on helping other stepmoms who feel like they are barely surviving their stepmom roles. And she helps them create the kind of deeply connected, harmonious, and purpose-filled lives they have always dreamt of living. Sounds amazing, right? It's a great discussion. So let's dive in.
Mindy, I'm so glad to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, welcome, welcome. So let's jump in. There's so much to talk about. I always love to start by asking, what's your origin story? So, like, when did you become a stepmom? And how did you become a stepmom? How did you meet your husband? All of that good stuff. So give it to me.
Okay. So definitely not traditional. I was 24 years old when I became a stepmom to four kids. So the youngest was 5 and the oldest was 15. And then we had 2 in between. So, I met my husband.
I have to tell you, like, before you get into the rest of it, I just want to say, as a fellow stepmom with 4 kids, I cannot imagine doing that at 24. I was 40 and I could barely handle it. That's amazing.
Yeah, we're like 2 different ends of the spectrum here, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. It was a wild ride. I just actually talked about this on my stories and how I never could have predicted all that I would go through becoming a stepmom. It was tremendous. But that I love where I'm at now at almost 39. I'll be 39 in February. I have 4 grandbabies. I get to do a different, and that plays into a little bit that there's an age gap between my husband and I. And so I get to sort of experience things at a different rate than other people. But it's been such a growth experience for me. I think all of us stepmoms will say that the stepmom experience is like the catalyst for a lot of our healing and our own work. And it teaches us so much about ourselves. If I hadn't had that opportunity, I don't think I would be where I am today. Well, I definitely wouldn't be a stepmom coach, but just in my own evolution as a person, it has it really forced me to look at myself in ways I don't think I would have been forced to do in normal circumstances. And I'm grateful for that. But to get back to my story, yes, I was 24 and I became a stepmom before kids. And then we almost immediately decided, because of the age gap, that my husband and I were going to add ours babies to the mix. So we added two that are almost exactly a year apart. So it was hectic and crazy. And we at one point had six kids under one roof. And I don't think any of us were prepared for what that would mean, right?
No.
And so it was a wild ride. But essentially, my story and why I got to where I am now with being a coach is that I really just did what I think most of us stepmoms do, is we just jump in to the deep end. We give all of ourselves to this blended family. And then at some point realize we're really depleted, overwhelmed, and don't have much left for ourselves. There's resentment, there's frustration. It's just not going the way we thought we would. And at some point, something's got to give. And for me, it was about 7 years in that I hit a breaking point and thought, this is not sustainable for the rest of my life. I basically was having a breakdown. It was like, I'm going to either get divorced, something's got to give, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Like, my anxiety was an all-time high. I was overextending myself in almost every area of my blended family life. And so I told my husband, I'm going on a retreat to Sedona. It was like 5 days and I got a lot of clarity in those 5 days.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that something's got to change in my life. And so that was what started my healing journey.
Was there like a, we always talk about like the bathroom moment, bathroom floor moment. Mm-hmm. Was there a bathroom floor moment that was like something that happened that like, or was it a slow realization that you just sort of came to the point?
I think it was a few things. One thing that happened for me, and I had a really great therapist at the time that my husband and I were going to for couples therapy. And she was just really honest with me, though she didn't understand the blended family dynamic really well. She really understood what my body was trying to tell me. So I was mm-hmm. telling her in these sessions that, and I felt like a horrible person. And that's why I relate to so many stepmoms that are like, what's wrong with me? I had so much anxiety on transition days. And I didn't logically have any kind of thought process that was happening that made sense to me and why I felt this way. I had a pretty good relationship with all my stepkids at that point. There wasn't that much conflict at the moment with bio mom. And yet the anxiety the day before was starting to consume me. And I was getting to the point where I didn't know how to even manage it anymore. And I was telling my therapist this in a session. And I said, I don't understand it. Things are fine. It was much worse prior. And now I'm experiencing so much of this transition anxiety when my stepkids are coming over and I don't know what to do. And she said something to the effect of, your body's trying to tell you something. You need mm-hmm. to listen. And it was an eye-opening experience. I realized in that moment, there was more going on below the surface than I had been willing to admit. And I really needed to look at that. And so that's where I decided, okay, I can't ignore this any longer. I've got to go figure out myself. There was a lot of shame wrapped up in that. I thought, I'm a horrible person for feeling this anxiety that my stepkids are coming and I have debilitating anxiety before. And I went on a retreat and I ended up meeting some wonderful human beings, one of them being an 85-year-old salt of the earth healer that did wow. body work on me, that told me that I needed to release all this shame. And anyway, I really, really got in touch with the fact that there were things that needed to be processed that I had been stuffing down. And I started mm-hmm. to work on that. And that shifted everything.
Your body really does tell you. I have found that through my entire life, not just with my stepmom experience, but I'm very, and I think a lot of us that do this are very type A, and mm-hmm. and we end up kind of internalizing so much of the stress, whether it's with work or anything else. And at a certain point, you get to that place where your body shuts you. If you don't shut down and take care of yourself, I always say, like, your body's going to shut you down. and yes. do it for you. You know?
It will. Yeah. It's like, we're going offline now. Like, this is totally. Too much. Yeah. And totally. See, what's so funny is I'm not a type A, and that's why I thought, I always said I'm a go with the flow person. I can put up with a lot. I have to purposefully create routines. Like, I don't create routines by nature. I have to do that on purpose. And so I thought this situation, this family life would be perfect for me because I can just go with the flow. But little did I know that it was eating me up inside. And yeah. I needed to look at all of the internalized parts of myself around, you know, our dynamic that I just wasn't even addressing. I wasn't setting clear enough boundaries. I wasn't taking on way too much. I thought I had to do everything in order to feel valuable and loved in this family. I was, mm-hmm. it was an exchange process, right? So it was like, I'll give my soul to you. Then will you please accept me and love
yeah.
me? Right.
Totally.
And it wasn't, the exchange wasn't working out to be a perfect equation. And I was feeling like, oh, I've just given everything and I'm not getting what I thought I would
yeah.
get.
Not really a fair exchange, it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah. Shockingly.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, so I love that you're talking about, I think everything that you have talked about are things that I know both of us probably always hear from our clients, right? Like the shame is a huge one. Mm-hmm. Huge. And I think it's part of this, like not taking care of ourselves and not putting ourselves even first, second, or third on the list, and then feeling bad about ourselves when we can't do it all, you know? Talk yeah. a little bit more about stepmom shame, because I know I've had that too. And it's like you feel, I had to set some similar boundaries. I had so much anxiety about, mine was the pickup drop off. Mm-hmm. And so I had to set a boundary around like, okay, I'm going to no longer go to those. Mm-hmm. But I felt a huge amount of shame around that. And and I had to do the work to, you know, figure that out with myself. But talk about that, because I think that so much of what stepmoms could do to help themselves involves dealing with those feelings of shame.
Yeah. So what I always tell my clients is this: we grow up, we have filters in our brain. Our brain wants to be efficient, right? And so we have all these filters that we develop through our lives, through childhood. Some of them are formed before we even have conscious memory. Then a lot of them are formed through watching the people we grew up with, society, magazines, you know, stories that are told to us. That's how we form our belief about how our role should look. And a lot of times we don't actively participate in picking those filters and how we want to live our lives. We just assume them. They're just sort of subconscious. And so when we get into this role, we think that's what I call fleshing it out. So you have to really look at what lies underneath and your belief systems mm-hmm. and make sure you want to keep those, because we adopt them subconsciously and then we never go back in. It's like, okay, so, you know, we had clothes from our high school era and sometimes they just still live in our closets for years. And then we go into our closets and we're like, oh, you know, I've had this for years. Maybe I'll just keep it in there. No, we're never going to wear it, right? Unless you're going to store it in a box for your daughter someday. We need to clean out our closet. We need to look at what's in there and make sure we still want it. That's what I liken beliefs to. So I think a lot of stepmoms adopt beliefs. They just fall into a role. They don't know why they're falling into this role. They don't know why they feel so drawn to needing to do it, but they just do it. And then that's where the shame comes from. We've adopted a belief. We're self-shaming for not wanting to abide by it. It's not working for us anymore, but yet we're so emotionally tied to needing to do it. So it's really looking at, okay, why do I feel like I need to go to pick up drop off? What's underneath there? Is there some belief yes. about that's what makes a good stepmom? Do you want to adopt and keep that belief? Is it helpful? Is it hurtful for your life? Then at that point, we decide, okay, we're going to let it go. And then we're going to work on the growth period that we're going to need to go through in order to manage the shame. Because shame is just a byproduct of that experience, that belief still being sort of hardwired, right? But just knowing we'll get through it and eventually feel fine about our decision. It just takes time.
I love that. Let's talk a little bit about these belief systems, because I think one of the things that stepmoms come in pretty hardwired, I know I certainly did, that they have to do it all. and they have to do everything and they have to be a part of everything. I know I was working with a client recently and, you know, she was really worked up about some school stuff and the ex didn't want her there, but she felt like she really needed to be there. And I was like, well, let's dig into that. Like, why do you feel like you need to be there? What would happen if you didn't go? Like, are you worried? Why does that bother you? You know what I mean? Like, why do we feel like we need to do everything?
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's one thing that I work on a lot and I really want to help change the narrative in our society is blended families will not look like a nuclear family. And we've got to shift that stereotype and that narrative and stop shaming step-parents, specifically step-moms, for not assuming the role of mom like you would in a traditional home. So I think there's a lot of complication here with gender roles in blended families. Oftentimes, and I find this a lot in my coaching, that and it's not to shame the dads here, but I feel like a lot of times when we marry in a heterosexual relationship and there's gender roles, okay, we've got a guy who typically wants, he thinks just from naivety that when he remarries, that she will assume the role that his ex did pretty much to the T, right? So she'll just do all of the things that a mom would do in a nuclear family. And he can't figure out why, when things start to fall apart, why she's struggling so much. And fundamentally, it's not the same. It's just not the same. And I think what we're running up against a lot is that dads actually need to step up a little bit more. They need to be the default parent in these roles in order for things to feel more cohesive, but we're just not seeing that. And so stepmoms think by pressure of their partners, good intentions, you know, may be the case here. I don't think they have bad intentions. They're not educated in what really actually works best in blended families, because honestly, there's not a lot of talk about that in our media and in our, you know, culture. They're not talking 100%. About these things, right? Totally. So nobody knows what to do. So we just assume what we've seen, that it should work for what works for nuclear family should work for a blended. It just doesn't. And so when stepmom starts to struggle, nobody really knows what to do with that because they just assume it should be the same for her as it is for a bio mom in a nuclear family. And it's just fundamentally not, right? And so I think gender roles play a big part in this. Learning to look at a blended family differently is really important. Doesn't mean it's, you know, different doesn't equal wrong or bad. It's just different. Letting go of the desire to look like a first family or a nuclear family is a huge hurdle, right? It's what we call the stepmom grief, I think, right? We all have to go through that grief where we're like, this just looks different. I need to get to where I'm okay with it looking different. And then at that point, let's design our roles in a way that actually feels good.
Totally. And I think, I mean, unfortunately, I think a lot of stepmoms fall on their face before they realize that the family looks different than, I don't, you know, what was your fall on your face moment?
Well, it was really just right before I went on the retreat. I was dying inside. I was like, I'm either out the door or I've got to figure out some miracle solution here because I can't live my life like this anymore. It was awful. Yeah.
Yeah. You're trying to shove that, you know, square peg into a round hole kind of thing. I mean, it just doesn't, it doesn't work.
And for me, I talk from experience. The gender roles played a big part in my struggle and what really created. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. Again, my husband's amazing and he was just naive to what needed to actually happen here. And so I don't think any of these husbands have ill intentions here. At least the majority don't, but my husband definitely,
I would totally agree.
Right. I think they just don't know. And so in our role, me assuming the role of like default parent really was what was killing me because you have so much responsibility, but no real authority, true authority. It's not a great position to be in. And it doesn't, though I do think it can work for some very unique circumstances where bio mom has maybe passed away or has never ever been in the picture. It's a little different. And I do encourage each stepmom to figure out what works best for her. But in the typical blended family role where you've got shared custody and there is a mom involved, you becoming the default parent in your home that way does lead to more resentment in most cases. So I think that needs to shift a lot. Dads need to be that, you know, deciding factor. They need to be more involved. They need to really not expect her to do everything. There needs to be more equal split of those roles. And I think that in my personal coaching practice, when stepmoms start to shift that, I start to see big changes for them as far as just feeling more empowered, more happy with their roles once they get past the shame. The shame is big. Yeah.
Shame is big. Well, talk to me a little bit about y'all's relationship with your husband's ex. How has that evolved over the years?
It's evolved quite a bit. So we've been doing it 15 years now. And we definitely started out not the best. It was a rough go in the beginning. And I would say it went in waves. So her and I assumed most of the communication responsibility for a while. That led to tremendous anxiety. And yeah. It wasn't good. And I thought that's what it needed to look like in order for us to be a good blended family. Realized that wasn't healthy for me at one point. We stopped communicating and I allowed my husband to be the default communicator. That changed a lot of things. I would say it was, we had high conflict in the beginning for probably the first 5-6 years. It started to taper off to where it was just amicable, but not comfortable. And then recently, I've shared this on other podcasts as well. She became a stepmom and I think just had a different perspective. She reached out to me about 2 years ago, wanted to sit down, and she apologized for the way that she treated me all of those years.
Wow.
She'd done her own growth and work and really felt a lot of remorse for how she had showed up. And
that's unusual.
It
Even
is.
When someone realizes it, that is really unusual in such a positive way for an ex to own it like that. That's amazing.
It was really, really healing for both of us. What's interesting about it for me is part of my breakdown at that 7-year mark was really wrapped up in her and wanting her approval and needing her to see all that I did for her kids. And one of the things I had worked on for the last, 5 years prior to her coming to me was getting to a place where I knew that so deeply about myself that I had actually just let go of ever needing that from her because I knew that I was such a good stepmom and that I was giving my all to these kids and I didn't need their mom's approval anymore. So it was so ironic because about the year before she called me, I was like, I don't need this. I could live the rest of my life and be okay. And then here the universe, right, is like, here you go. Now that you don't need it, you can have it. And when I was sitting across from her, and this is what I want all stepmoms to know, is that approval is not needed. When I was watching her, tearfully tell me how sorry she was for how she treated me and how amazing I was to her kids, the thing I realized was that wasn't actually for me. It was for her, right? Totally. She was doing it to find her own peace with herself. I never needed that approval from her. And I was happy for her that she was doing it for herself and that she could feel better about herself in that moment. But that was not what I needed. And I was so good about with who I was as a stepmom, how I had showed up and was happy to move forward, right? I wouldn't say we're best friends. We're definitely not best friends. But like just the other weekend, we moved my stepdaughter into her new home. We all were there together, moving Amazing. Her in. It was fine. We're all fine, amicable. And we're able to just kind of move forward with everything.
I love that outlook so much. And I think that's so important for everyone that's listening. If you need to rewind this like 30 seconds and listen again to what Mindy was talking about with the apology, that is just such an important message that, the apology was for her and you realized that you didn't need it.
Yeah.
Huge. It's huge. Mm-hmm. Because I think that so often stepmoms, we want to be the super mom, but we want that validation and we want it from her for some unknown reason. Why do we need that from her? I don't know. It's you're really doing that hard work and realizing that you don't need that is such growth. That's huge. I love that.
Yeah. It really changed my life. And just knowing, that if she had given that to me prior, and if I had gotten it at a time that I felt like desperate for it, what would have followed was still the work that needed to be done where I believed in myself. So I still would have been left with that. That validation does, it's not a replacement for your own self-worth. It's just external validation. We still have to, we still need the internal part in order to really feel it and believe it. And so if I had gotten that earlier, I still would have had to go down the road of work on myself to believe in my worth. So it's not a replacement.
And for the record, once you know that you have that worth, it's irreplaceable whether or not she ever apologizes. I mean, I know we've had, you know, lots of situations where we'll get the nasty gram email or, you know, whatever. And when you can get to the point where you can read something that's critical or nasty or hear something that's insulting or whatever and be like, oh, what a bitch, you know, and move on. And it's like not a big deal. That's an amazing place to be where it doesn't impact you. I mean, just for your own peace, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly where all stepmoms need to be or should be able to get to. We all have the ability to really believe in ourselves. And that's where it ties into what we were talking about earlier is designing these roles in a way that you're confident in the way you're showing up. It's not only how, it's not only aligned with your values, but it's aligned with what feels good for you. Right? It's aligned with your capacity to show up. We all have different capacities. And so we have to really look at what's our capacity and what do we have the ability to do? And then what's aligned with our values. And once we get all of that in ducks in a row, we can be so confident in the fact that we have done all the work. We're showing up in a way that feels so good to us. And we're giving, you know, the right amount of ourselves to the people in our lives so that we still have stuff left for us. Right.
Yes. Huge. Huge. Okay. So before we wrap, I would love to just piggyback on that so that we have time for us. What do you do for yourself these days and how has that evolved from being at that point where you realized you were putting yourself so last that it was impacting you physically? Like what does it look like now and how has that evolved?
I'm like so boring in that I love my own coaching sessions. So I invest a lot of time in my own growth because I love that. I have my own coach that I work with all the time. We work with her each other twice a month at least. That's really important to me because that helps me vent. It helps me see, you know, my pitfalls. Where am I getting hung up? Where am I playing the victim story? Like all of that stuff means a lot to me. So I always invest in my own growth. I also work really hard on the relationships that fill me up. So I stopped years ago putting a lot of time and energy into people that really weren't filling my cup. And now If you're not filling my cup and if it's not mutually good for both of us, I'm not going to participate. And so I've really started to weed out things that drain me. So I focus a lot on the relationships that feel really good. I have a couple of really close friends that I spend a lot of time and energy with because that's what fills my cup, right? Going out and having a glass of wine over dinner with girlfriends, there's nothing better. So
100%.
Right? It's like connect with the people that really fill your cup, that make you happy, that make you laugh, and exercise. Okay. So just make sure you move your body. I think in my last Stepmom Summit, I talked about closing the stress cycle. And part of that is exercise. We've got to make sure that we release our stress. And the body, like we talked about earlier, really keeps the score and it knows if you're bottling it up. So for me, it's like, I live right up in the mountains. I go hike with my dog. I make sure that I get out. Those things matter a lot to just my sanity. So I make sure that I don't skimp on that stuff because I will feel it later. Right.
Totally. Totally. Mm-hmm. That's huge. This was so great, Mindy. Thank you so much. I think you've got just amazing advice for people and have got so much to offer. And I'm going to put links to how people can find you and your site and all the things in the show notes. So thank you. I really appreciate you being here.
It was so fun being here. I can't wait to do more.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it for this week. If you've enjoyed our chat, I hope you'll help spread the word. Share this episode with friends and head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave me a review. And don't forget, for more great stepmom content, head on over to thiscustomlife.com and follow me on social media. Just search This Custom Life on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. Until next time, you keep being you and know that we are in this together. See you here next week.